I want to challenge you just for a few moments in the Word of God, and let's turn to 1 Corinthians 9:19. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 19. I want to center our thoughts for the next few minutes on the word freedom. And I think this is a good day to think about freedom. When we think about tomorrow being the 4th of July, the freedoms that we have in this country, it's a great freedom that we perhaps don't appreciate like we should, that we could assemble here tonight to come freely, walk into a church, not be ashamed of anybody anywhere knowing that we came to church, not being afraid that somebody was going to throw us in jail or persecute us simply because we came to the house of God. Freedom is a good word, isn't it? I like that word, freedom. It's a good word. It can be used in the right way. It can be used in the wrong way. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. Paul is writing to the believers at Corinth, and he says, as far as all men are concerned, I'm free in my relationship to them, but there's a sense in which I choose not to be free. Since I was 9 years of age, I've been free. And I was somewhat free before that, but when I was 9, I got saved. And my sins were washed away. How? Same way these little boys and girls will have their sins washed away if they get saved. And I was saved at 9. I asked Christ to come into my heart. I knew that His shed blood on the cross was there for me. And all I had to do, it was in a revival meeting on a Sunday night, and the preacher was preaching about heaven and hell. And I realized I was lost, and I accepted Christ as my Savior that night. I'm thankful that I've been free ever since. And it's good to live in a free country. I can drive anywhere I want to. Some places I don't want to drive, but there are a lot of places I can go. I can get in my car and take off and drive freely. Those of you who were with us on the trip to Israel recently, you remember when we went into the Arab section? We had to stop. They got on the bus, looked us over, and they had to make a decision if they're going to let us cross on over into their territory or not. I'm glad they did. That's where the best shopping was. But at any rate, we had to be sure that we were cleared before we get in there. It's a funny feeling when guys get on the bus with machine guns and look you over. It really is. I don't care who you are. That's sort of a strange feeling. But I'm glad that I could drive anywhere I wanted to. I can fish in any stream that I want to. If I want to go fishing, I can load up, as long as I got my license, get out there and go fishing. I hadn't been in a while. I'm about due to go. But I also have been able to visit in cities all over the United States and some, of course, in foreign countries. But the freedoms that we have here, go wherever we want to. And I thank God that I'm free to preach the Word of God. That may be shut off someday. And I very well expect that it possibly will be before I get through preaching, that they might say, you can't say that anymore. They're really getting tough on that. Some people were arrested recently because of their position on homosexuality, and some others because they said something that was true but interpreted as derogatory about the Muslim faith. And so those things are beginning to happen. But I'm glad we're still free. And I can still stand behind this podium on this pulpit and preach the unsearchable riches of Christ to you tonight and not be afraid. And I'm glad that I have that privilege. But sometimes we need to forget our freedom. We need to forget our freedom. You say, what in the world do you mean by that? How can we forget our freedom? Why would we want to forget our freedom? Or our freedoms. Look back at the text in verse 19. For though I be free from all men, that's good, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. Paul said, I have given up many of my freedoms. Why, Paul? Why would you do such a thing that other folks might be saved? There are some things we're free to do and some things we're free to say and some places we're free to go and all of those things. But Paul said, let me tell you, I give these up. I gladly give up these freedoms that I have that I might win some people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes we go in the wrong direction with our freedoms. We head in the wrong direction with our freedoms. We know we have them. We know that. But look at our society today in our freedoms. And under the guise of free speech, we have pornography. And that's not good, is it? I hope you know that's not good. Some of you are dabbling in it, may not say amen. Let's see if we get any amens now. Yeah, but there we go. But pornography is terrible. And yet, they're screaming in our society and saying, well, that's freedom of speech. We can say what we want to and show what we want to and do anything we want to in the name of our freedoms. Dirty books, pornography, all of that. Same thing with speech. We can say what we want to. And there are some good things about that freedom, but we take our freedoms too far. We take it to the illogical. We take it to where it's a disgrace to God. We take it to where it's a shame for us to act like we do and call ourselves a Christian nation and still say we are free. We say we have the freedom to abort little babies in the womb and murder them. I really don't think God intended for us to have that kind of freedom, do you? Murder is murder, and it's wrong. And abortion is murder, amen? It's murder. That's what it is. Nobody has a right to do that. And even in some cases where the life of the mother is at stake, I think we better leave that in God's hands, but we don't need to murder anybody at any time for any reason. I know that's a controversial thing with some people, but read your Bible and see what God says about it. When does life begin? When the baby is smacked on the backside and starts crying, not on your life. Ask any mother that's carried one for 9 months if that baby wasn't already there and active. That is a real entity and an individual soul and spirit in that womb. We don't have the right to take a life of a little child in the name of freedom. We talk about drugs and alcohol. I was talking to a friend the other day. And when I was talking to him, I didn't realize what had happened. He had a son, 39 years of age. This is a home missionary who has worked here in the States. They've been in our church. They've stood here and sung. Just a few weeks ago, a guy who was drunk, ran into his son, killed him. Usually it doesn't kill the drunk. They're too limber to die, it seems like, or whatever, but killed this 39-year-old young man, a preacher's son, because he felt like he had the freedom to go out and get drunk. And he had been arrested how many times? I think he probably should have been in jail and not back out on the streets. And maybe that would not have happened. You say, well, that's harsh. Well, what if it had been your son? Would you sort of agree with what I'm saying? I think if they do that many times and they get caught that many times, he had suspended license and had been caught on drunk driving charges I don't know how many times, but he thought he had the freedom to go out and do that. And what do? They accuse us of censorship. Oh, you're just guilty of narrow-minded censorship. Well, somebody needs to censor something, amen? And we need to base it on the Word of God. And it's not just cruel censorship. It's things that are sensible, things that are right, things that God never intended for us to get away from Him that way. We think we have the freedom now in America to have same-sex marriages. Isn't that pitiful? And if you agree with that, well, you, number one, you probably need to get saved. And if you are saved, claim to be saved, you sure need to get right. And know that that's not what God said. It's a monogamous marriage, one man for one woman for a lifetime, and it is a man and a woman. It wasn't Adam and Steve, it was Adam and Eve, amen? And I think we ought to stand up for those things and speak up. Why should Christians be cowards and let everybody run over us? Be kind, be loving, be nice, like Brother Rigsby and I are all the time. Just be like that. But take a stand for what is true and do the very right thing. Sometimes we go in the wrong direction in our country in the name of freedom. And then affecting Christians, some of this is getting into our thinking. Even God's people, even those who are born again, who are saved. We began to think like the world. We began to absorb some of the philosophy of the world. And we get the attitude that perhaps has been promoted and taught in higher education, that you have a right to be what you are, be who you are. Don't worry about what anybody thinks about you. Just be yourself. If yourself is wicked, that's all right. But you're free to run your own life. You're free to do as you choose. If you're a Christian, you are not free to do as you choose. You are a servant of the Most High God. You've been bought with a price. We belong to Him. We do not have a right over our bodies and over all the things that we want to do. We don't have the right to do those things. God does give us choice, but God never says that it's right to do some of those things that people are doing, and yet we say, I'm free to do as I choose, even if it's sin. After all, grace will cover all of that. We're saved by grace and kept by grace, so we can just sin by grace. Let me tell you something. You go ahead and try that, my friend. You'll find out if you're a real child of God, God will lay it on you because He will chastise you. That's a bad attitude to have about that. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. Look at what God says about this. But take heed. Take heed lest by any means this liberty, freedom of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. To those that are new converts, new Christians, to those who don't know, those who haven't been taught all of those things. And the whole issue was at one time about eating meat, meat offered to idols, and you're very familiar with that instance in the Bible, no doubt. And Paul said, they're not really gods, and we know they're not gods. But there are a lot of people out there that don't understand that, and they don't know that. And even though you can buy those steaks at a discounted price, and even though there's really no other gods, and we know that, it's bad for us to go out there and purchase that, he said. That's the rule of expediency. That is saying, yes, I have freedom from all men, but I'm not willing to use that freedom to hurt the cause of Christ. And that's the law of expediency. It is doing not what I can do, but what is best to do, what is better, what will bring God the most honor and the most glory. And so we are, as God's children, bound to do those things that God tells us we should do. He reminds us of the fact that we are the temple of the Lord and that we should not abuse that, and we should be very careful about the habits we have in our life, where we go, what we do, what we say, what we read, what other people know about us, what we watch on television, all of those things. You say, that's negative legalism. No, it isn't. It's sensible things. And that's what he's talking about. He's just talking about being careful and being sensible. Freedom sometimes is just a fancy word to a lot of people. But you know, there are some people in America that are still in slavery. Did you know that? There are some people right here in this building tonight that are still in slavery. You're slaves. You're slaves to what? Well, to sin. Slavery is never good. Amen? It's never good. And I'm glad we don't have it in our country. But we do have it among God's people sometimes. If you'll look at what's going on, that is, we yield to sin. Satan fights us and tries to get us to do the wrong thing. He's always doing that. And let me tell you something. When he gets you to cooperate, then he is your boss for a little while. You say, well, he'll never be my boss. If you don't get your sin business right with God, he is your boss. He is running things in your life, whether you like to admit it or not. He is your taskmaster. He bids you to do, and you do what he says to do. He says, drink, and you drink alcohol. He says, use drugs, and you use drugs. He says, watch pornography, and you get involved in pornography. He says, have that affair, and be flirty with other people, and get involved in that kind of thing, and you go ahead and cooperate with it. And in any of these other things that are attitudes of the flesh, he bids, and we do those things because we have a carnal nature. And then we go from one place of sin sometimes to another in our life and what we do. Now, we can, as I said, live in America and not be free. You say, well, everybody in America is free, and there is no slavery. But what happens to us, not only does the devil dominate us to some degree, but the world begins to dominate us. The world is in charge of our lives. What are you talking about? Television commercials, all of that. They present women as having come a long way. Yeah, they've come a long way, baby. The wrong way. Amen? A lot of them. And they present that as the norm, as the standard. And now, even Christians, and you won't like this, but that's all right. Even Christians are beginning to fail to know what the word modesty means. Didn't get many amens, did I? You coward husbands ought to say amen real loud. I know that's pretty straight, but I'm telling you, it's up to the dad to look around. And you need to be, you know what a man is. You need to be in charge of that thing, and you need to make the call. And sometimes that's not going to be easy, because your daughter wants to be stylish, and your wife wants her to be stylish, and she wants to be stylish. Even if it means being immodest. We've come a long way, the wrong way, many times. We need a dress code that conforms to what God says. And women need to dress modestly. And that is good for you, and it's good for everybody around you. Dress modestly. Thank God that we have the standards that God has given us. Your body is a temple of God. Keep that in mind, ladies. And the same would apply in some areas to men. But is that really freedom? I don't think so. I think that's really fudging on what God intended for us to do. And then we need to demonstrate the greatest freedom, and we do when we are resigned to Christ. When we are resigned to Christ to do what He wants us to do. And that's when we do what Paul says. Our personal freedom is relinquished. Our personal freedom, we say, I lay it down for the cause of Christ. And verse 22 in chapter 9 says, To the weak became I as weak. Why? That I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake. I'm free to do other things, but for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Paul said, I lay down some of my freedoms in these areas so that others can be saved. And that's an important verse. To the weak become I as weak. I respect what's going on around me. I respect those that need to see strength and maturity in me. I respect that, and I want to live that kind of life. And I remind us tonight that our freedom has been bought with a price. The freedom we have in America has been paid for dearly. I don't know why we don't get emotional about that. Many do. But you see a lot of people, you see them sometimes at ball games, they won't put the hand over their heart. They talk and laugh. They won't take their hat off. It's as if America, as if they're mad at America. Let me tell you something. There have been men and women for centuries that have given their lives that we could be here tonight free in this. There's some right now in Afghanistan and Iraq and some of these other places that are fighting a needed and necessary battle. Not a useless battle. I think we ought to win it. And I think it ought to be that way. I don't think we need another Vietnam. But I think we ought to win it. But thank God for people who are willing to pay the price for the freedom. I love the flag of the United States of America. It is not my number one religion, but I want to tell you, I love this country, and I believe you do. But let us never forget that there are people walking around tonight with limbs missing, legs missing, some who attend our church, who have fought those battles, have paid a high price, and probably many of us in here can name somebody we know that was killed in some kind of battle somewhere during one of the conflicts. We know what a price has been paid that America would be free. God help us to be willing to pay the same kind of price, to stand up and do what's right, to vote right. Quit voting for your cotton-picking pocketbook. Vote for principles of the Word of God. Vote for what's right and register and vote. You can't vote if you don't register. You hear some people complaining about what we have and they don't even register and vote. Shame on you. It might have been your vote that would have put somebody decent in. And whatever level it may have been. But the freedom is bought at a great price for America. I love America, and I believe you do. Let's keep it like it ought to be. It costs to do that. We can't be nonchalant about it. We need to take a stand. And it costs for you and me to be a Christian tonight. It costs God His very best. For God so loved the world. What great love. No greater love than that. No greater depth of love. No greater encompassing of love. The whole world. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. What a price. That whosoever believeth in Him, what a gift, should have everlasting life. Amen? Jesus died on the cross so every one of us can go to heaven. I'm looking forward to going to heaven. My bags are packed, but I'm not necessarily wanting to go on the first load. But if it happens, it happens. Heaven is going to be a wonderful place. You ever notice we pray more for sick people to keep them out of heaven than we do for unsaved people to keep them out of hell? Think about that a while. We get all upset and cry and all of that, but people who need Christ that we know that are lost, how many times do we get on our knees and weep and pray for them like we'd be praying for a loved one who had cancer? I'm not against doing that. Thank God we have that prayer. The prayer of faith heals the sick. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We ought to pray for lost people and be concerned. A great price has been paid. One of the songs this morning reminded us that we need to go out and get this gospel out to people and tell them how to be saved, how to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can tell you tonight, the price has been paid for your sins. Isn't that good? You say, oh, we've heard that a minute. Yeah, but isn't it good? The price has been paid for all of our sins, past, present, and future. Thank God for that. And friend, you don't have to go to hell. You can go to heaven. If you're here tonight without Jesus Christ, these boys and girls that are of the age of accountability, we don't try to press them just to get some decisions out of them. But I believe God works on the lives of little children. I know when I was, even before I got saved, I knew God was dealing with me and speaking to my heart. But I can tell you little children over here tonight, Jesus loves you and He died for you. And He'll save you if you'll come to Him. And you can go to heaven. And I can say that to any adult in this building. And some of you may not be saved. We hope that some of the parents of these children who are not saved would be here tonight. And maybe some are. But I can tell you, God will save you. If you'll come to Him, a great price has been paid for your salvation. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. Thank God He washed it white as snow. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. And you can get your sins under the blood by coming to Him and saying, I want to be saved. I want to be forgiven. I repent. I turn to You. I want to go to heaven. And God will do that. The price has been paid. You don't have to pay the price. There are a lot of false gospels out there. Salvation by my good deeds. Salvation by joining a church. Salvation by helping other people out. Salvation by a lot of different things. They call that another gospel, which Paul says is really not another gospel. It's false. One way, through Jesus Christ. Do you know Him tonight? Have you accepted Him as your Savior? If not, I hope you'll do it. And if you have, maybe you need tonight to rededicate your life to Him. Thank Him for the freedoms. Maybe you've taken too much advantage. Maybe you have misused your freedoms. Maybe there's some old habits in your life you need to lay down for Christ's sake. A bad testimony, a bad temper, alcohol, tobacco. Many of these things that can hinder and hurt the cause of Christ. I wouldn't want somebody to go to hell because I had to go. Amen. Boy, you're looking sober at me now. Ooh-wee. No, in all seriousness, we need to get rid of those things that would hinder. Free? Yeah, we have a lot of freedom. But Paul says, I'm glad to lay my freedom down that others might come to know Jesus Christ. Let's stand, please. Every head is bowed for a moment. If you're here and you do not know you're saved, listen, boys and girls and adults, If you're here and you're just hoping you're going to heaven, you're not sure you're saved, but you really want to be saved, and the Spirit of God has spoken to you, you've got to realize you're a sinner, believe Jesus died for your sins, and then whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I encourage you to come tonight. I encourage you as a Christian to think about what God has said to you tonight in this message about your freedoms and what you need to do with them for Christ's sake. We need the attitude of Paul, and I hope you have it. If not, come and get it tonight. Maybe God's leading you to join our church. We invite you to come, whatever the need may be. Father, bless now this invitation. Have your perfect will. Thank you for the freedoms that we have, even as believers, for the many freedoms we have. But Lord, help us to not use our freedoms for the wrong reason. Help us, dear God, to get out from under the slavery of things that might hinder us and hurt us and keep us from being all we can be for you. Help us to not be slaves to that, but to know that through Christ we have been freed, and we do not have to listen to the devil. We don't have to listen to temptation and follow through with it. We don't have to continue in habits that hurt the cause of Christ. God, may you help us. Help that soul that is nearest hell tonight to come to Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen.